Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Living in this post-Upton Sinclair world, there are supposed to be worker protections. Workers who get injured on the job aren't supposed to be tossed out onto the cold street. There's worker compensation, an agreement between workers, employers, and the government. But in Texas, not so much. Here, the boss can opt out or go bare and take their chances to be sued. But not really, because this is Texas. A ProPublica investigation with NPR for the first time took a look at the Texas system and found that a growing number of companies are opting out of workman's comp and cutting back on workers' benefits and opening loopholes to deny coverage to workers who are injured, and there's virtually no independent oversight. So in short, Texas could be going back to the days of the jungle. We're joined by Michael Grable. He is a ProPublica reporter who investigates economic and labor issues. Michael, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Why look so hard at workmen's compensation? Is this a big part of the system?
Yeah, so workers' comp really spells out what a company's obligation is to its workers. We're in a period now where we're debating income inequality and economic fairness. And unlike some of the other laws, workers' comp spells out that companies owe a duty to their workers to keep them safe and to take care of them and their families if they do get hurt on the job. So this seemed like a ripe area for us to look, and we've been studying workers' compensation and changes that have occurred across the country. But very few states, except Texas and Oklahoma, and now there's a growing cry in some other states to allow companies to just opt out of workers' comp and write their own rules.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment about the workman's compensation system in Texas, have you been injured on the job? Did you think you were treated fairly? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org, or go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. So, Michael, before we had the workman's compensation system in Texas in the law, and then we had workers were able to sue their employers if they felt that there was negligence involved in their being injured. And so that was just a costly system, and they felt that workers' compensation was a compromise between all the parties involved?
Right. So workers' comp was created as sort of this compromise between employers and employees. There was the problem of employees' only recourse was to sue their employers, and here you have an unemployed worker not making very much money having to go up against a big company. So the solution at the time 100 years ago was to come up with workers' compensation. Workers would give up the right to sue, and companies would take care of their medical care and enough of their wages so they can get by until they recovered. Texas never went that way. Texas has always allowed both companies and workers to opt out, and the trade-off was supposed to be that if they did, then workers could sue their employers, and a number of defenses that companies typically would have wouldn't be available to those companies. So what's been happening over the last 25 years in Texas is that some people have figured out a way to have sort of opt-out plans where there is something in place that covers workers if they get injured, has some sort of benefits, and is covered by federal law that has a little bit, has probably gives employers a little bit more control than they would under the workers' comp system, where there's more independent oversight. And increasingly, big companies have been going that route. So now Walmart, Home Depot, Kroger, McDonald's, some of the biggest employers in America have opted out in Texas.
Let's go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980 as we're talking about the workers' comp system in Texas and how it's being eroded away. Patrick is on the line. Patrick, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing good, sir. You're on the air.
Yes. Okay. The biggest problem with workers' comp that I see is that the workers' comp system controls what happens. Even if the doctor, my doctor told me I needed certain procedures done, and workers' comp refused them. And the other part of it is that when you go, you file a complaint, workman's comp controls the complaint organization. They have their judges, their lawyers handle everything, so that when you go to a hearing, they control what happens, and sorry, you're out of luck.
And so, Patrick, you were hurt on the job?
Yes.
Okay, have you considered, I mean, there are a lot of personal attorney, injury attorneys out there. Have you thought about that?
No attorney would cover it. I've called many of them, and they said nobody touches this. They said workman's comp in Texas is almost impossible to solve or to sue, and so no attorney would cover it.
Patrick, thanks for calling, and I'm sorry about your injury. So, Michael, what do you think about Patrick's story?
Yeah, so he's talking about the general workers' comp system that these companies are opting out in. And we didn't look as closely at the Texas workers' comp system, but others have. The Texas Tribune has, and in talking to some attorneys and other workers for this story, you know, Texas workers' comp isn't a paradise either. I talked to one lawyer who said it's really, you know, Texas workers' comp or opt-out, workers get hurt either way. It's really pick your poison here. Compared to many other states in the country, Texas is already starting at a point where it's probably less favorable to injured workers than many other states in the country, and opt-out is sort of another option involved in that.
And we've seen that Texas is the most deadly state for workers in the nation. We've had more people die on the job than any other state. But you're looking at a third way, not workman's comp and not completely opt out, but it's a private benefit plan, an injury benefit plan that they're able to provide some coverage. It saves a ton of money for the employers and the companies, but there's also it's a Swiss cheese coverage for the employees.
Right. And the comparison to what Patrick was describing in workers' comp, the worker might have to pick a doctor from within a network. In opt-out, in these opt-out plans, the company controls who that doctor is from the beginning, and workers can even be penalized if they try to seek a second opinion or see their own doctor. In workers' comp, there's an independent state-run court or judges that hear appeals from workers who feel like they're not being treated well by the insurance carrier. And so there is an opportunity to be heard by an independent party. Under opt-out, your only avenue of appeal is to back to the employer. They set up an appeals committee within the employer, or if they have a claims administrator that they have hired. And then outside of that, you can go to federal court, whereas it, you know, for a very limited review, which is essentially, did the company follow what they wrote in their plan, not was the company fair to you or was the company right in its analyzing of the evidence, which is very different from what you get under workers' comp.
Now, you looked at an attorney in Texas, and he specialized in the creation of these new private plans. Then he says this is not about reducing benefits. He says this is about efficiency and saving over $1 billion for Texas workers for businesses across the state. So is this reducing benefits? That's a real thing, though.
Yeah, so we looked that, you know, his intent may be genuine, and that may be what the intent is, but we looked at we obtained 120 plans from both Texas and Oklahoma to really analyze what do these plans actually say now that they're being, this has been adopted in Oklahoma, is being considered in Tennessee and South Carolina with the goal of reaching a dozen states in the next decade. So what do these plans actually say? And what they say is that workers have to report their injuries within by the end of their shift or 24 hours, or they could face losing all their benefits. That's very different where somebody might not think much of an injury, sleep it off, and then be in pain the next day and try to report that. We talked to a worker up in the Stephenville area who has been unable to get any sort of medical care for her injury because she went home, tried to sleep it off, and the next morning told her boss. 19 hours had passed, but the company said, no, you're not covered.
And she pulled her back, right?
Yeah, she pulled her back lifting a patient in a nursing home.
And so you don't know right away what kind of injury you have in a case like that.
Exactly. And the other thing that we notice in Texas, there's a cutoff of, you know, workers' comp provides lifetime medical care. In Texas, in the opt-out plans, it's cut off generally a little after 2 years. And the reason for that is they say, you know, if it is a serious injury, the worker has the recourse to sue to get additional benefits. And that is sort of the trade-off, that the worker has to go to court or depend on the company being a good actor in trying to settle with them and give them compensation to cover the medical care for the time that they'll need and the lost wages for the time they'll need. A lot is dependent on whether or not the company wants to be a good actor or doesn't feel that the worker is deserving.
We're speaking with Michael Grable. He's a investigative reporter for ProPublica, looking at economic and labor issues. Our phone lines are open if you've got a question for him as we talk about the workman's comp system in the state of Texas, 210-614-8980. Chip is on the line. And Chip, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say this. When I was injured, it was almost impossible to find an orthopedist in Texas who would take a workman's comp case. And the second thing was, at my the minute my first evaluation was going on, they were out to limit what was actually claimable. I had a fall, I had injuries to both legs, and the first thing they did was start checking off what they weren't going to look at. The next thing is, I had a broken tib, fib, and knee surgery. And you can't recover from a broken leg and knee surgery in 90 days, which pretty much guaranteed I was unemployed.
Chip, sorry about that. Thanks for your call.
Under the bridge, but thank you.
Thank you for making us aware of your situation. So, Michael, you hear Chip's story. I think about him. I think about all the people that the death benefit, is that being chipped away as well?
Yeah, so one of the other things is there's in addition to limiting medical care, there are limits on death benefits and permanent disability benefits. So these catastrophic injuries that change people's lives, under workers' comp, generally you would have benefits until, according to the law, you'd have benefits until the day you die or the day if the death benefit until your spouse remarries or passes, and the children until they're 18. Under these workers, under these opt-out plans, the company can set that at whatever they want. It could be $100,000, it could be $250,000, and it might not cover the person for the rest of their life. So we met a woman whose husband fell off a cell phone tower at the LBJ National Historic Park, fell 180 feet to his death. She was 23 years old at the time, had a four-month-old daughter. So under workers' comp, that daughter would be protected until she got out of college with 75% of her spouse's wages. And she would be covered until she remarried or until she passed if she never found somebody again. And under this situation, we could be talking about she received $250,000 from the company's opt-out plan, which sounds like a lot, but if you look at that over 20 years or over 60 years, it suddenly becomes very little. And under workers' comp, she could have been entitled to upwards of $1 million over the course of her lifetime. So very different changes in benefits. She's now dependent on Social Security, and as we were interviewing her, she was applying for food stamps.
And this is even after her case. And you're right that the company was violating safety rules at the same time.
Right. So in this case, the trade-off didn't work. So the company was found by OSHA to have violated safety rules, which would seem like a great thing to have if you wanted to file a lawsuit and obtain more benefits. The only problem is shortly after they filed a lawsuit, the company filed for bankruptcy and liquidated. So there was nobody that she could sue and obtain more benefits out of. Under workers' comp, if a company goes bankrupt, there's a pool that all companies pay into, that when a company dissolves or an insurance company dissolves, there's still benefits provided for those workers.
Back at the phone lines, Tom has called in. Tom, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I'll try to be brief. My information is about 15 years old, but I remember having real good experiences with private companies, but I guess I can't advertise one in particular. It did a stellar job of taking care of their employees. They were privately insured. When workers' comp was involved, it was always problematic because the clinic the patient went to was either too oriented towards employer needs or too oriented towards the patient's needs. And I just found out that people who were self-insured did a lot better They got a very good care and got right back to work as soon as possible. That's about all I got to say.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for your input on that one. So Michael, obviously, you know, workman's comp is not perfect, and there are some good actors out there and companies who will provide adequate insurance and coverage for their employees, but you're finding out that that's not everybody.
Right, and this gets real complicated, so I don't want to talk about it too much on the radio, but there's a difference between self-insured and what we're talking about. Self-insured means the company takes care of it, takes care of all the claims itself, doesn't have to hire an insurance company, but is still monitored by the workers' comp system. This is different. A lot of companies also do the same thing where they pay the claims themselves, but they're not monitored by the workers' comp system. So there's two separate things there.
So under this new system that we're talking about, not workman's comp and this other private system, is it shifting any burden to the taxpayer?
That's the argument that's being made, that when, and it's certainly what we found in the injured workers we profiled, that when the company wouldn't pay for the injury, if the company had one, it went on the group health plan, the workers ended up on Social Security disability, or came out of their own pocket.
Or they became homeless, or virtually homeless.
Yeah, we had a case where a worker told us that the money was so low that they had to decide if they were going to buy their pain meds out of their own pocket this week, or if they were going to buy groceries, and at times subsisting on half a can of SpaghettiOs to get by during the tough times.
So they can still sue, can't they, if they're not getting the coverage that they deserve?
They can, yes. One of the things we found is that in addition to these plans, the companies have adopted arbitration agreements, which means that the worker doesn't get to go to court, go before a jury. The worker's only recourse is before an arbitrator, and that arbitrator, at least the company, is picked by the employer.
And has tort reform in Texas, has that made it harder for injured workers to find relief?
You know, I didn't look too much down that route. One thing we did find, I mean, so you're not just suing for benefits, you're suing and proving that the company was negligent. Now, a lot of workplace injuries are things like lifting injuries, slip and fall injuries. These are hard to prove that the company was negligent. There's even a case very recently where a worker was assigned to clean up a spill. The company didn't have the correct products for them to clean up the spill, and so they slipped and fell and greatly damaged their leg. And the courts ruled that because the worker was assigned to clean up the spill, he was clearly aware of the hazard, and therefore how could the company be negligent if he knew there was a spill there?
But eventually it comes to, a lot of these cases will end up eventually in the Texas Supreme Court. These are elected people, and they seem to have a pro-business attitude, and it comes down to attitudes across the state and who we put in office. Michael Grable, thank you so much. I appreciate you talking with us. You're a reporter for ProPublica, specializing in investigations for economic issues and labor. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
And this is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for tuning us in.